This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
And everyone else, if you could remain standing and take out the red Book of Common Prayer in the pews, please, and turn to page 818, page 818 in the red Book of Common Prayer. You will see at the top of page 818, prayer number 12 for a church convention or meeting. And our Episcopal Church is having its every 3 year, what's called the triennial convention, the general convention of our Episcopal Church that begins now. And we would like to pray for all of them. And in the spot where you fill in the blank, it is Louisville, where they are meeting. So let us pray together at the top of page 818. Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with those who take counsel in Louisville for the renewal and mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right, and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Those of you who are familiar with the Episcopal Church know well that the way in which we see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives together as church is through this process of general convention, where our delegates and representatives in both the House of Deputies and the House of Bishops have been meeting and working on issues for these past 3 years, and they come to sort of a peak crescendo as they vote and debate different and pray over different issues that face our church. And one of the biggest things that is going to be happening that you will see in the national news is the fact that our presiding bishop, Bishop Michael Curry, his term is now ending. And so this week, our Episcopal Church will be electing a new presiding bishop. So as we've been praying for our presiding Bishop Michael all of these years, there will be a new person and a new name for whom we are praying. So we pray in that prayer especially that the Holy Spirit's going to guide our delegates and our House of Bishops to choose that person that is going to be able to help us most closely follow God's will in these years ahead. So, well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. I bring you greetings from the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, and especially from the Beniste family, Father Jean Beniste and his wife Monica, and their children Annalise and Solange. And I can't believe it, but I can say they're teenagers, Annalise and Solange. When we knew them here, they were little guys. I know some of you go back to those days, as Father Jean even went on one of our mission trips back in that time frame. He was installed as the new rector of the church downtown there in Concord, New Hampshire, St. Paul's. And I was blessed to be asked to do the sermon there. And you can go on, we sent you the link on YouTube if you want to go watch the service and listen to the sermon. But I can't tell you, it did involve mangoes. So, something special with the Beniste family and me. I also bring you greetings from St. Louis. As you know, I went to my 50th high school reunion there. And I can tell you, they all look old. I don't know what happened to them, but it was a wonderful opportunity. We have this incredible gospel today. And those of you who have been here for a while have heard me talk about this gospel a lot, because every time I do a retreat day, we usually start with this gospel. Because it is this gospel that I find most beneficial for us to do something called scriptural imaging with. Meaning, we read and listen to the gospel and we imagine the scene and see where God is placing us in that scene. And because of those primordial images of water and that, it can get us really in touch with where we are in our spiritual journey right now. So sometimes we are in that boat with Jesus, scared, just like those disciples were. Sometimes if things are going swimmingly in our spiritual life, we might find ourselves as Jesus asleep on the cushion. Sometimes we can be just a bystander watching what's going on. And I know at times in my life, I have not even been in the boat. I've been drowning out in the water as it's going on because of everything that's going on in my life. But it is a wonderful, wonderful gospel story for us to try and get in touch with where we are. So I commend that to you. It's in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. And the versions that we hear are very, very similar in all three versions. So very, very powerful one. We can all relate to times in our lives when we have been like those disciples in the boat, in a situation where we are scared to death physically. For some people, it might be during a hurricane. For some people from the Midwest, it might be during a tornado, as we've been hearing about. For some people, it could be on a boat that you might have experienced a lot of difficulty with the ship going like this. I always relate to an experience I had on an airplane. You ever been on an airplane where you get that unexpected, horrible turbulence that you weren't counting on taking place? For me, the ultimate was the first trip I was able to take when I was living in Rome as a student. It was 1978. And a friend of mine, Freddie Olivas, and I decided we were going to take a charter flight to London for Christmas. Sounds wonderful. So we boarded in Rome this charter flight. It was a British airline. The pilot only spoke English. Most of the Italian passengers did not speak English. And so when this horrible turbulence started, as this unexpected storm came up, oh, you should have heard the Italian that I was learning from all of those people on the airplane. But they knew that we spoke English. And so when the pilot is trying to explain what's happening, they're all looking, panicking at us to tell them what's going on. And we say, it's a horrible storm. They didn't know how bad it was. They're going to try to go around it and be able to land. And so that's what the pilot is doing. And they're all scared. And then the pilot comes back on again and says this: we're running out of fuel. We're going to have to land somewhere. And the people around us turned to us, and they want us to explain what's going on. Well, they're already half crazy. There's no way we're going to tell them that we're running out of fuel. And so Freddie turned to one of them and says, oh, we're just going to be fine. He's just letting us know it's okay. We ended up having to land at Luton Airport, which is further away outside, and they had a bus that took us eventually into London. We have these things that happen where all of a sudden our world is turned topsy-turvy. And we can react with fear. And we need to remember, as we start talking about this, that fear is pre-moral. Fear that we have is neither good nor bad. It's a given. It just happens. I'm afraid. And the challenge that we need to have here is to figure out how we can move ourselves over to the faith side of the equation. And so this is something that these disciples, apostles, are dealing with in this particular story today. Now, some of you have seen some of these slides before. Some of you experienced it when we went to the Holy Land. But they did this discovery that in this, called the Sea of Galilee, it's really a lake. And those of you who went on that pilgrimage trip remember it. It is a lake. But the geographic conditions of that area are such that the area is prone to very quickly arising and very strong storms. So what happened here would not be that unusual for what would have normally happened when a storm came up on the Lake of Galilee. They discovered a boat. They were able to unearth the boat. And if we put up the first slide, it looks like a piece of cheesecake, but it is actually the way in which they were able to gently bring that boat up out of the mud of the lake, and they actually ended up putting it into a museum that is there on the shore of the Lake of Galilee these days. We go to the next slide. And this is what they were able to sort of preserve, and this would have been the boat that they were in. We go to the next slide, and you get an idea with the people standing behind it. This was not a big boat. At most, this boat would have been able to accommodate, they say, 15 people at most. So when you think about this, yeah, that I'd be scared on that boat if there was no waves whatsoever. We go to the next slide. Now, here is, if we can get this to play, Rachel, we're going to try it. It's going to show what it's like to be in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. We might have to go to the separate thing there. Here it comes. Doesn't feel very much like a little lake, does it? With a boat of that size. This a common occurrence on that lake. So you can see that with this going on, yeah, it would be scary to experience that. So we can go from this, before we all get seasick, let's go to that next slide if we can. And this is an artist's depiction that I'm sure some of you have seen before. Now, the artist took some liberties, probably when he painted this picture. He had no idea of that boat that they were to find later, huh? And this is a very famous one done by Rembrandt. Rembrandt had a lot of difficulty in his life. I think 4 of his kids died, his wife died. He had lots of things that would have been tests for his faith. So he paints this photo of the storm at sea. Now there's a point that he wants to make in the story. If we go to the next slide, there is Jesus who's there. I know it's hard to see, but Jesus is there asleep on the cushion, as the story goes. And there's something very interesting. And if we go to the next slide, we can start counting up, and if you just keep clicking, you're going to get all circles around all of those people. It turns out, how many apostles were there?
12.
Add in Jesus, there's 13. But the thing is, when we get through all of this and we count up all the people, we'll go to the next slide and it's going to have the numbers on there. There were extra people on the boat. There were 14 people on the boat in this photo. So who's the extra guy? Well, Rembrandt wanted to make a point. We go to the next slide. There he is on the boat. Hold on to your hats, boys. We're in for a rough ride. We go to the next slide and we see his self-portrait next to him painted on the boat. Rembrandt wanted to make a point. We're in the boat. Just like those disciples, we get ourselves into situations in our life where we want to hang on for dear life. But the reminder we need to have always, peace, be still. Jesus is in the boat with us. One of the things that we need to remember is something that comes out of that reading that we heard from 1 Samuel today. Little old David with his slingshot. I didn't want to bring in a weapon today, but we can talk about the slingshot. there is something that is called the slingshot phenomenon. The only way a slingshot is going to work and be effective is if we pull back on it. And there is great tension. And at the same time, there is this pulling back. Perhaps at times of fear, this is what we are being called to do. To pull back and remember, this is what Jesus has done for us and brought us to this moment in our lives, separately and together as a community. Think of all of those times when we have been in that rocky boat, and yet here we are today. Jesus continues to bring us to the next point in our lives. He never lets us just stay where we are. He's always saying to us, let's go across to the other side, as he says in the story today. You know, this section of Mark's gospel, they go across that lake four times, back and forth. But perhaps the image that we can be left with today is Jesus, as he said to them, saying to us, why do you have little faith? I'm here. They have just experienced all of these incredible things that Jesus has power over the Sabbath, power over the devil, power over sickness. All of these powers that come now, him showing he even has power over nature. And so it's not about us as much as it's about realizing who we are with Jesus in the boat with us. There is a great story that Victor Hugo, who wrote Les Miserables, that I think we're familiar with, but he also wrote another one called 93. And there's a section in that novel where the sailors are in a boat and they are having difficulties because there's a storm. One of the soldiers has not properly secured a cannon below deck, and the cannon, they can hear it starting to go from side to side. And they are very fearful that they need to secure the cannon because a shipwreck, because of a hole in the side of the boat, is going to be much worse than what the storm could possibly do to them. And the image that Hugo is trying to paint for us is that so often in our lives, the turmoil that we have, it's more important to deal with what's on the inside than the external forces that we can't control. So perhaps today, whatever storms we might be facing, to remember the ways that God has sustained us in the past, there's no reason to think he's not going to bring us through to the other side again. Let's remember that. Amen.